The San Jose Sharks fall to the Seattle Kraken 4-2, playing a spirited, if yet meaningless game. We'll talk about all of that and more after this. But first, if you want to be a part of the show and join the conversation, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans on the page or the app, follow us across all the social media channels, that being the YouTube chat, the X Machine, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, Reddit, Discord, and all the shenanigans that go down over on the TikToks. Check out all of that and more at TealTownUSA.com. And if you want to help support the pod and help get Puck Guy a new MacBook, maybe, at Tealtown USA on the Venmo machine always helps out. Well, it's good to be joined by Mr. Ian Reid. Ian, we've seen this movie multiple times this year, but how are you doing this evening?
I mean, it's fine, right? There's, what, 8 games left in the season. It's the slow march towards death. It's fine.
Yeah, well, you heard it here.
To say, like,
you heard it here first. Heard it here first, folks. It's fine.
Actually, I'm not gonna lie. Like, this is a game I always get worried about, right? Because I think, like, if you look at the Sharks' upcoming schedule, like, there's definitely some games on there where you're kind of like, okay, you know, like, they're gonna face some teams that there's a few teams left that are still playing for something, but there's a lot of teams not playing for anything, right? So they play Seattle tonight. They play LA on Thursday. Obviously, LA is still playing for something. The Blues are technically still playing for something, but that road gets darker because they keep losing to teams that they should beat. And then they beat good teams, right? But then you've got Calgary, Seattle, Minnesota. Edmonton is pretty locked in, and then Calgary. So, I mean, there's definitely games on the schedule where you're concerned that points could get picked up. Now, obviously, if Chicago gets another win, that should put
just about doing it
on things. And then that, you know, at that point, then it doesn't really matter, and they can win as much as they want at that point. But we're not there yet. So I was kind of nervous about this game, especially after they, you know, they started kind of shitty, but then they came back and they started looking pretty good. Mackenzie Blackwood, I think, has given the Sharks the ability to win a lot of games this year through his goaltending. I think the one thing with this team this year, it's funny because, like, the problem when at the end of their cup window was often goaltending. And now when they're playing for nothing, the goaltending is great. Everything else is fucking terrible, but goaltending's fine.
yeah, exactly. And if you're keeping count on at home, folks, the San Jose Sharks lead the bottom of the league standings at 42 points, Chicago at 49 points, with each of us playing 74 games. So again, it's a nice 7-point cushion on first overall as far as the best competitive odds for first overall. And again, you know, like you had said, there was some life, but they started off really horribly. I mean, 29 seconds in, you know, Matty Beniers gets his 13th of the season, Bjorkstrand and Tolvanen getting the assist there. And I mean, clear giveaway in your own zone. I mean, you practically lay it on to Tolvanen's stick, who shovels it over to Bjorkstrand, and Bjorkstrand able to get a shot off with Matty Beniers kind of going towards the net and picking up some loose change. And again, you know, it's just piss poor defensive zone coverage. We've seen this ad nauseum. Again, I don't think we're going to see any kind of revelations in the last 8 games as far as defensive tightness goes. So, you know, going into next year, they're going to have to really understand that they need to conserve the amount of passes that are going in their own zone and not expose the puck to, you know, immediate forfeiture, because that was just utter horrible giveaway. Just so crappy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chicago's schedule is kind of tough, but at the same time, like, you know, I think the one thing with Chicago and San Jose, especially if you're a playoff team, is that it's kind of a trap game too, right? Like the Flyers, they're still playing for something and they lost pretty badly to the Blackhawks, right? The St. Louis Blues, I think they play the Blues tomorrow. Is it tomorrow they play the Blues? Let me just kind of scroll through here quickly. No, sorry, they play the Islanders tomorrow, which again, I don't know what Islanders team you expect to show up. Like there's definitely games that they could, I think, surprise people. They said they have them. They have the Blues on their schedule on the 10th. I mean, I don't know. I think Chicago could pick up another couple wins here if teams kind of roll into town sleeping, or just teams that have just been really, you know, playing for something, but giving up games to just weird teams. I don't know.
Thank you, Puck Guy, for doing the math for us. Tragic number for 32nd overall, or if you're like us on Team Tank, magic number, 9 points. So again, the Sharks would need to lose a combination of 9 points and have some combination of 9 points either against, or have Chicago pick up an additional 9 points to secure 32nd overall. But again, I think the Sharks have, yeah. I think they have fairly good odds at this point. You know, somebody else who had some good odds, kind of cruising through the neutral zone and picking up, a nice goal was Oliver Bjorkstrand, 11:26 into the first period. Eli Tolvanen doing the yeoman's work with the pickoff in the neutral zone and sending it up to Bjorkstrand. In making it 2-0. And I think this is about the point at which the Sharks kind of started to get a little bit more into the game. But Ian, I mean, they talked about it a little bit on the broadcast, broached it a little bit, but you know, coaching is the I guess the preparer for games. You know, the coach is the preparer, and you know, you'd hope to get the team, you know, at least showing some signs of being ready for a hockey game. But this is 4 games in a row where they've just come out and completely looked, you know, haphazard. But I mean, look, we know the team is talent deficient, and we know that there's no, you know, there's no reinforcements, and this is the, you know, almost what the roster was constructed for. But I think I start to get worried when you see these consistent patterns of not starting on time, you know, things that, you know, every NHL pro should be doing, and I'm just not seeing it.
Here's the thing though, right? And I think this is the issue too, though. It's like you're at the end of the season, right? And you know, like there was a call up today, and it's Jack Studnicka, which I'm sure I joined a chorus of many people being like, really, that's the call up we're going to make right now. I mean, a lot of these guys, what are they worried about? Like they know the season's over. And what are they playing for? It's not like they're calling up kids that are going to take them out of the lineup. They're calling up a guy, Jack Studnicka, who could barely stay in the lineup when they claimed him and then got sent to the Barracuda post haste. So what is the motivation for the guys that have been here, knowing they're just running out the clock at this point? There's no Gushkin knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Going to take your spot for the rest of the season. Your guys are just going to play it out. If you're Kevin LeBanc, sure, you can't stay in the lineup, but I mean, if you're anyone, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But everyone else is basically safe. They get to just keep playing, and I don't know. I think that's part of it. I'm sure someone will comment and saying that's a huge reach, but I don't know, man. Like what are you playing for? You're playing for nothing.
Yeah.
It sucks because like you're playing in a nearly empty building.
Exactly.
I think it sucks for like, I hate it for the goalies. Cause I think like, again, the goaltending, if you want to go down the list of problems with the Sharks this year, goaltending should be near the bottom of your list. If goaltending's really high, I don't know what team you've been watching.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. It's you know, you're playing out the back nine of the season. There's not really a lot of incentive from the general manager's position to call up any prospect of note.
Yeah, and like, and some people are going to reply, oh, well, you know, they want to lose, right? So they can't call up the kids. But like, these kids couldn't, you know, it's like you bring up Gushkin and they might win. Well, let me tell you a story. He plays for a little team called the San Jose Barracuda, and he couldn't carry them to many wins this season. So I don't know what you're worried about.
Yeah.
Like, I like Daniel Gushkin. I think he's a player that should definitely get a shot down the stretch here, like when you would normally see kids kind of get a shot. But like, but the idea that you call him up and, oh, they're going to go on a tear. Like, I like Daniel Gushkin, but let's simmer down a little bit. Right. Like,
I mean, at least they like to see him
eliminated from the playoffs. The Barracuda team, oh, 100%. But this Barracuda team is also dead last in their league, so it's not like, I don't know, because you always get stupid, like you always get some stupid knucklehead that comes out when you say, oh, bring up this kid or bring up that kid, because you know it's garbage time. Who cares? And they're like, no, man, it's you can't fuck up the tank. Like, fuck off. Like, how dumb can you be?
Yeah, yeah. Well. Somebody who wasn't trying to tank and ended up getting a power play goal was Fabian Zetterlin, getting his 21st of the season, with Mikael Granlund and William Eklund getting the assists. That would be his 21st goal of the season at 14-19. This kind of gave the Sharks a little bit of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really a good, a nice wired shot from Zetterlin. And, you know, Mikael Granlund and William Eklund doing some nice creativity out, you know, past the circles. And yeah. I really like the movement on the power play. And the power play has been a pleasant surprise since, you know, putting together Eklund and Zetterlin and Granlund. And I like that. And, you know, I like to see the movement. And, you know, it's good to see the power play be slightly effective. So many years of ineffectiveness on the power play. It's nice to see a little bit of effectiveness, even if it's in garbage time right now.
Definitely garbage time. No, but yeah, but no, I mean, like there has been things that I've liked about the Sharks this year. Like, I think, you know, a guy like Zetterlund's really, who I was had questions about at first, and maybe the way he finished last season, is like super grown on me as a player, you know. And like, I think Eklund, like, I think you'd like, you know, some more points from Eklund for sure, but I've liked the way his game's progressed. I've liked the journey that Thomas Bortolo has gone on this year. I think that he's played his best hockey in this most recent call up, which is exactly what you want to see at this point. A guy who's, you know, I think a guy who's had definitely some ups and downs this season, some injury issues as well.
But the kids
and the goaltending's been good, right? And I think that's great, because I think, again, you know, like I wish the Sharks had this goaltending when they were at the end of their window.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think, like you had said, it's the kids have been a bright spot. The goaltending has been a bright spot. But again, you know, I think one of the major storm clouds that we've continually seen is the defensive responsibility. And it goes key into the third goal that the Kraken were able to score in that first period. Again, another horrible giveaway. You know, Shane Wright able to just be basically parked out on the doorstep and able to just tuck it in. You know, Schwartz and Eberle getting the assist there, making it 3-1. So, you know, you had gotten a little bit of good mojo from the power play, but, you know, it was less than 3 minutes later, they score again.
Yeah, I you know what, I was really happy for Shane Wright there, because I think he's a guy like who, you know, I think he was a guy that was like a lot of people thought was going to go number one in his draft year. And then Seattle's kind of taken the slow approach with him. I think they've let him work out his game with Kachella. I think he's been really good with Kachella. Anytime that I've seen him with Kachella, I think he's been good. And, you know, it sucks because, like, I feel like in today's era of like just constant information, like, guys, I think that we've gotten way too quick to scream bust at guys. There comes a point where you have to start saying, okay, maybe this guy's a bust. But I feel like with some prospects now, just because I think of the social media and everything else, I think a lot of, you know, you start hearing a lot of people, oh, this guy's a bust, and then it kind of just becomes the narrative. And I think it sucks, because I think that sometimes, like, you know, I think a guy like Shane Wright, who is so highly touted, like, obviously, I think you'd want to see him get to the NHL quicker. But I don't think that a slower path to the NHL is the worst thing sometimes. I think sometimes playing in the NHL for a bit is fine.
Especially with guys that need to adjust to the speed, right? I mean, and Shane Wright looked like when he, you know, looked like the game was a little fast for him when he first got up. So it's good to see that they did take the slow burn approach with him. And I think it's going to, like you said, serve him better. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it pays off. I like Shane Wright. I like Shane Wright as a player. I think, you know, again, this is a guy who, you know, basically was fell to the Kraken gift wrapped in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and everyone's like, oh, maybe people knew it, you know, we didn't, but I still think there's a really good player there. And I'm hoping next year he gets an opportunity to really, be around full time with the Kraken.
Well, I mean, that was the year that Montreal went off the board a little bit and got with the first overall of the kid from Czechia, the center. Mm-hmm. And they selected. And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, you'll say most of the time, most organizations will draft based upon best player available. They're one of those organizations that draft positional need.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is really weird. So anyhow, you know, Shane Wright getting his first goal of the year. So nice to see that. In the second period, you know, the Sharks would end up playing, I think, their best period of this game would be in that second period, you know, allowing 8 shots on goal and having 9 shots, you know, 4. And, you know, Clint Claston ends up getting rewarded with his 7th goal of the season, Vlasic and Zetterlund getting the assists. So Zetterlund put in a 2-point night tonight, Mark-Edward Vlasic mm-hmm. with a nice shot from the point, and Clint Claston doing his best Joe Pavelski impersonation.
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, considering what you got him for, I mean, you basically gave up Rodney Schmick, a guy that the Sharks were done with, who wasn't coming back, and you turned that into Clint Claston. I mean, it's a nice move by Mike Greer. I've liked what I've seen so far. I think someone in the chat, I think it was Dave, said that he wonders how effective he'll be with less ice time. I like Clint Claston, but I think that you have to be careful of some guys, because I think that in a situation like the Sharks, you're going to get guys playing in positions that they wouldn't be if they were on a better team. Like, that wouldn't be the same role they would play on a better team. So I think he's doing great, but I do have concerns that if you start putting more talent ahead of him in the lineup, that I don't know if you'll get the same results with less ice time. If you'll be able to, I don't know if you'll be able to maximize his minutes the way he is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder, you know, if he's on a more stacked team, you wonder if he's got the same position as far as ice time goes and the same amount of opportunity, you know.
But I think he's been great. Like, I don't want people to say like I'm trying to dump on him. There's going to be situations here where guys are going to play in minutes that maybe they don't play as this thing progresses.
Jerry F, thank you so much for the super chat donation. My son and I are enjoying the show as usual. Well, thank you for tuning in this evening. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the Sharks, like we had said, kind of played their best in the second, but going into the third, kind of another drop off. And you know, we had talked about
the third was really sloppy by both teams, to be completely honest.
It was, but I'm looking at the shot differential right now, 14-6 in favor of Seattle. I mean, that's pretty tough, and very similar to the game against Dallas. Very similar, you know, in the last four, where it's just the sandwich of crap, good crap.
Yeah. There was one sequence where it felt like everyone just like, no one could get the puck on their blade. It was like the Sharks healed it a bunch. I think Eklund was on the ice. I think he healed a shot, and then like the defense healed the clear, and then someone else got the puck back, and then they healed. Like, I have never seen so many guys heal a puck in rapid succession like that. It was amazing. I wish I had a GIF or something of it, but that's the thing that stood out to me the most in the third period, was just this series of both teams kind of healing the puck in the Seattle Seattle's defensive zone.
Yeah, playing their best game of hot potato, that's for sure. In that third period, Jared McCann would end up getting the empty net goal, with the Sharks floundering in the last minute to get Blackwood out of the net, just unable to get any kind of puck possession, and Seattle looked
comedy
totally,
of errors.
Yeah, just totally in control. And Jared McCann would end up getting the empty net. And it was kind of funny, too, because he hits the post at first and then he keeps following
yeah,
up.
And then everyone keeps skating. And yeah, it was probably one of the funnier like empty net goals you'd see, because like obviously the Sharks, both Sharks are like, oh, that's in. So they just no one stops or anything. And they just, it goes off the post, goes back to McCann, who makes no mistake on the second attempt. But yeah, just got to play to the whistle sometimes.
That's for sure. Well, at the end of the whistle, the Sharks would end up losing 4-2 against the Seattle Kraken. The final shots on goal total, 32 in favor of Seattle, 26 for the Sharks. And
yeah,
looking over, the faceoff numbers were good for San Jose, 57%. Power play, the Sharks were 1-2. But, I mean, again, besides a good little flurry in that second period, the end of the first and, and in the second period, the Sharks just, like this tale of the season, start poorly, end poorly, and that's pretty much the tale of the tape.
Yeah, I mean, it's 8 games too many, in my opinion.
Yeah, can't this nightmare just be over already?
Can we just call it a year and get to the playoffs? Because that's what I want. Although I will say that this has probably been one of the, I think this is actually for playoff races, this has actually been a pretty fun year for playoff races, because you've got like some teams that are just that are still in it longer than I thought they'd be. Like I thought. Usually by this point in the season, one of the conferences is usually pretty locked up, and that's really not the case this year. You got a couple teams making it interesting. I don't know who's gonna, Like, I'm not sure if any of these teams that have scrapped and clawed to get in are gonna be, are gonna be super scary. Although I don't really want to play, I wouldn't want to play Nashville. Actually, I will say that Nashville's a team, although they've lost two in a row now, but man, that's a team that I don't know if I'd want in the first round.
Yeah, I mean,
now they
Nashville
have 8 games left, so they could, if they kind of, if they fall back down to earth and they start losing a bunch, then maybe not. But
Tampa,
right now, I wouldn't want to play Nashville.
I wouldn't want to play Tampa in the East. I think that they're sneakily good, as far as like
they're like Boston. They're like, until they're dead, they're not dead.
Exactly. Exactly. As long as you have Andre Vasilevskiy in net, I mean, you can give them a puncher's chance. And like you said, I mean, in the West, it's pretty interesting as far as where the races are going. I mean, St. Louis is starting to fall out a little bit, but, 3 points back.
They just keep losing to dumb teams. Like, they're beating everybody else, but the second you throw a team that they should absolutely beat, that's when they fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Minnesota's, they're on life support, basically. I mean, at this point, I think that they've run out of runway. Yeah.
I mean, the Blues are kind of chasing, and then you kind of have like the jostling between the Golden Knights and LA, and so I think that's going to be interesting to see how that ends up. And you go to the East. The East is fascinating because you have a team like Detroit, who looked like they were right there for so long, and now they're kind of wishy-washy. The Flyers, they're 2-5-3 in their last 10. They're just clinging to third in the Metro. Washington's right behind them by a point. Like, the
talk about an interesting team, huh? The Washington Capitals getting rid of Kuznetsov and selling off pieces, and yet, still competing. And it's kind of interesting, but you look at that goal differential, the -31, that just,
yeah,
that's a mirage.
Yeah. The Capitals don't scare me, but still, I mean, it's an interesting dogfight, and I'm glad that there's actual races for the playoffs, right? Like, Detroit's a point out.
Yeah, they played an extra game though on played two extra games on Washington.
And I think that the thing with Detroit too, right, is like their only real play is the wild card at this point, because I just don't think they can catch the Leafs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So only
place, like, whereas like a team like Washington, they can get in because they can, you know, they can push the Flyers down. I think the Metro is still a tough division, because I think there's like there's no real bad teams in the Metro. Like all the teams in the Metro, like they're all like 500. They're all teams that are above 500. Like yeah. Even the Devils are above 500.
Yeah, exactly. You know, looking at points percentage, Devils are at 514, Pittsburgh's at 520, Islanders at 530, and then you know go over in, to Philly is 546. Carolina 673. I still understand why Carolina's in the Metro. That just seems so stupid. And then New York at 693. So yeah, I think yeah. the top of the East is definitely locked up, but the rest of it I think is still in flux. And you know, outside
yeah,
of
it'll be interesting. Like I'm glad that there's like, you know, as we mercifully wait to be put of our misery, like there's still like other interesting things happening. Cause like I said, usually by this point, like one of the conferences is locked up and there's not really much to play for, but races in both sides, which is nice to see.
And I've just been told the Red Wings have beaten the Lightning 4-2. So
there you go.
All right, Ian. Well, I think that about wraps it up and does it for the game tonight. Any other topics you want to get off your chest before we call this thing?
Philip Bisted is getting assigned to the Barracuda. So we were kind of waiting for that to get happened, and it came out today. So it looks like he might be in the lineup on Wednesday. So it looks like I might have a couple more Barracuda games to watch after all.
All right. Well, at least that gives us something to watch. And in case you want to watch it again and you missed the show tonight, or you know, you missed any of the shows, smash the like. Hit the subscribe button and then also hit the bell button. You'll be notified when we go live after every single Sharks game. And of course on Sundays with the Pucknologists. But if you don't want to check it out on the YouTube, which is where we're at most of the time, you could check us out across your favorite podcatcher. That being on the Apple Podcast Store, the Google Play Store. Of course, the aforementioned YouTube Rewind, SoundCloud, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeart, and the Odyssey app. You can also check out the breakdowns and the audio and video versions over at TealTownUSA.com. Ian, it was a pleasure this evening, as it is always. What are your final thoughts on where the people can find you?
When the Sharks do bad, it's good, because that's all I got.
All right. Well, and for myself, just 8 more games left. You know, let's just keep it together. And then we'll take a look at the bingo balls. we'll see how the Sharks end up doing. You know, it would be just so Sharks to be so bad and not get first overall. But let's not put that into the universe. But I wear
things
a tinfoil
out of my
hat.
Control.
Yeah, exactly. File under the things that are out of our control for sure. as far as where you can find me, you can use my first name. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, Landy, L-A-N-D-I, across all of the social media garbages. And of course, from all of us here at Teal Town USA, you know how we like to end it. We like to keep it real. We like to keep it teal, and we like to keep it real teal. So we will check. You should check us out after the game on Thursday. And of course, check us out on the web at tealtownusa.com. Thank you, everybody, and have a great evening.